You know him from the Smiley Morning Show.
Now he's got his own show. Radio Theology is on ZPL. Here's Pub Pastor Darren.
Good evening, Indiana. It is a beautiful, beautiful spring day, and Radio Theology is in your ear, in your car, in your phone, maybe iPad. Hard to say.
It could be anything. In your face.
Right in your face. Whatever you use to listen to the radio. We're with you all night tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. It's your weekly dose of faith, hope, love, and the hits here on 99.5 ZPL. Darren Earlywine, your host, here with Lisa and Ryan, producer Katie at the helm, pushing all the buttons as well. And tonight, guys, we thought, you know what, last week was Easter, and it's spring, you know what I mean? Everything's blooming, allergies are like crazy.
Oh gosh, people are just suffering all over the city.
And that's caused by new stuff, like new things blooming, whatever. So we thought about tonight, let's do a show about just new. Like, that's the theme tonight, is new. So what we want to hear from you, all you great Radio Theology ZPL listeners, is what do you got new in your life? Yeah. Is there something good going on that's new? Or maybe there's just something old that you would like to make new.
I like the twist there.
Yeah, like maybe you're still driving that 86 Corolla.
Mm.
And you're like,
crushing it.
It's awesome, but I need a new car.
Yeah.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
Yeah, and then this was really, really cool. So last week, a former, well, I guess maybe current, Straight No Chaser fan, who I maybe met like 6 years ago,
yeah,
okay, hits me up on Facebook.
Okay.
And he's in L.A., and he says, listen, hey, man, I'm a recently ordained Orthodox Jewish rabbi.
Oh, that's okay. Awesome.
Ooh.
Pretty cool, right? And he goes, and listen, a lot of your Facebook posts, I've seen that you've mentioned Jesus, or as he in Hebrew, it's Yeshua. And I was wondering if after Passover is over, if we could talk about some questions that I have that I've never really been allowed or permitted to explore. And I'm like, sure, man. Yeah, let's do it. What's cool, you guys, is so his son, this is not cool, but this is an intriguing part of the story. His son was a Marine and who was unfortunately killed in Afghanistan serving our country.
Wow.
And his son converted to Christianity before he was killed. And his dad was never able to find out the why behind that.
Okay.
So he's always had this kind of intriguing longing. Every time he hears about Christianity or Jesus, his ears perk up. And so he hits me up and he's asking like 100 different questions, you know, just about Jesus. And I'm sharing with him as best as I can, you know, pointing him to things in scripture. And he's like, I've never read this stuff before.
Wow.
He had never heard the gospel. He has never read a word of the New Testament because he's never been allowed to.
Right.
And he's like, listen, man, if I continue to go down this road, I'm going to be, in essence, banished from my faith community. He's like, if I believe any of this, I'm going to be a traitor to my faith and my family and my culture. And I'm like, whoa.
That's high stakes,
so
right?
So this is what's crazy, all right? This is, I think, 2 nights ago. He hits me up on Facebook, and he, over the course of an hour of us texting back and forth over Facebook Messenger, he accepts Christ.
Wow.
It was amazing, you guys. I mean, I work with Young Life, and I work with hundreds of high school kids over the past 5 years, and I've never had the opportunity to be there real time with someone in the moment when they accept Christ, and it was just amazing. I was like, I wanted to wake up Lauren, but I knew that was not going to fly well. But I told her the next day, I was like, this guy, it's just so cool to just see, you know, and that's for him. That's new life. That's new experience. He's emailing me every single day like, I had no idea about any of this. And so that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah, man. It's good stuff. God is good.
That's awesome. That story, I mean, I think it's just crazy is that, you know, and we obviously, you know, here being a chance to be a part of Radio Theology on 99.5 ZPL. I mean, this is not a Christian station. You know, we're always just from our perspective of personally what we believe, what we think. But to see a situation where, you know, in that tradition, right, is for a Jewish person to realize, you know what, it is to come to believe that, you know, Jesus is actually the Messiah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He said, he was like, I feel like I've lived my entire life knowing only half the story.
Whoa.
Is what he said. And yeah, so he was like, hey, is there a way that I can get my hands on a copy of the Bible in Hebrew? And then some other person who had read the story on Facebook was like, I got one, I'll send it to you. And I'm like, how is this even happening right now?
So beautiful.
Yeah, it's great. Like, oh, it's so cool.
That's cool.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
Talking about new stuff. Well, the new thing in my life, I'm realizing, is on July 19th.
Yes.
I will have a teenage boy in my
oh
house.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
It's
the end of days.
Is this like a foreign exchange student?
I wish. I wish somebody from Germany, maybe.
Oh, like Helmut. Helmut, hello, I'm from Munich. I'm here.
Oh, welcome to my house.
Oh, you're the pub pastor.
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful.
How do I pronounce your name again?
Helmut.
Like a helmet?
Yeah. H-E-L-M-U-T.
Do you play football, like American football helmet?
Mm, sure, if you want me to. I'm here for 2 years, by the way.
Oh. Well, I don't think it's going to go down like that because it's actually my son, Cole.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Turns 13 this summer. And I don't know if there's any people out there, people listening, that you have a new teenage kid, maybe you're a year in or something. If you could help me out, call in 317-228-1099.
That's big.
Because, like, he already stinks. That happened a couple years ago. I don't know what happened, but it was like, I remember us coming home from one of his practices, whatever sport he was playing, and we're about halfway home, and I'm like, is someone sauteing onions in my car? Because it smells like straight hot onions. But no, it was his pits and feet. And
all the hormones. Yes.
His feet stink so bad that, like.
Sorry.
No, I love my son. He's the greatest ever. I love him to death.
Of course.
But, like, his basketball socks, like, he wears from basketball. Like, yeah. He made the mistake of, it, like, taking his basketball shoes off and then putting his feet right in his regular shoes.
Oh, no. Oh.
And just the transfer of the sweaty sock feet into the non-basketball shoes destroyed those shoes. We had to take them out of the backyard and burn them. It was a no-fly zone around our house when they were burning. It was orange and green.
Were you allowed to burn socks?
Noxious fumes.
Yes. I was like, save yourself, children. Get a mask.
Out in the yard with a hazmat suit.
People thought we were Syrians over here with chemical warfare.
Wow.
Crazy. Oh, wait, so that's not a good joke.
That's the first chemical weapon reference of the show.
Can we? Yeah. Can I push the drop button and take that one back?
Too late.
I'm Dang sorry, it. No.
So, yes, no.
Officially.
People heard that joke.
And we're live.
Our ratings just went to zero.
Oh, that's all right.
No, anyway, I've got my son's going to be a teenager, and it's kind of tough because it's like, I mean, I can't believe I got a teenage kid. I mean, he was just born like a couple days ago. Yeah,
they grow up so fast.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. The smells and all the conversation. We had a conversation a couple weeks ago. We had the sex talk a long time ago, right? The relations talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what music is in the back? Is that a circus music?
It's like a circus
music
at your house.
Yeah. Oh, it is like a circus at my house.
I thought it was like old college fight song.
I did too.
Well, I've got a few things to play
Producer
with.
Producer Katie's just got all the toys over
just
there.
Just throw songs in the mix. I'm trying to figure it all out.
So you already talked about the birds and the bees. When a mommy loves a daddy, they hug in a special way. You already had that talk.
We did. So then the other day, we're sitting on the couch. And for me, like, I think, you know, a lot of times I think as dads, we feel like we can't talk about, like, sex or God. A lot of times are two things that we're like, oh, man, I don't know what to say, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we didn't plan this conversation. We're having it online right now on air, actually. But
you're in a safe place, though, Darren.
Yeah, it's just us and tens of thousands of our closest friends. So I was like, hey, buddy, it's like any of your, you know, buddies or you guys ever talk about, you know, the master word, you know?
Oh.
Okay. Oh,
but I said the word. And he was like, kind of. And I was like, all right, well, what do they talk about? You know, like I'm just trying to like not have a judgy type response at all to what it is. Right. You know what I mean? So we're sitting there, you know, watching UFC together, hanging out and just talking about life and all this stuff. And I'm like, there's moments where I'm like, it's like I'm having an out-of-body experience looking at myself and wondering like, how have I become this guy that actually talks to a kid?
Yeah, make it weird. Yeah. Don't make it weird.
About,
whatever he says, just be okay with it. Just be okay with it. Don't judge. Whatever he says.
It's those moments where you're like, I need another adult to sub in for
right.
me.
Right, yeah.
Right, you're looking around the room for like, who's the real dad?
Yeah.
Who's the real adult here?
Yeah. And I think people think when you're like a young dad, you think, well, at some point, I'll really feel like I'm a qualified parent.
I've made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm getting ready to have a 13-year-old son, and I'm still thinking to myself most of the time, like, someone else needs to adult this situation because I am faking this thing.
Oh, man. That's not helpful for me because I'm like, oh, boy, someday I'm really going to grow into this mom thing.
It ain't going to happen.
I'm not. Okay.
When I grow up.
So that's good. It kind of takes the pressure off, really.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a 2-year-old daughter. We've got a 2-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, they're fun. They're crazy. They're just silly right now. But
we're starting into the sass and the talking back and the arguing. I'm like, who are you, little devil child? Yeah. No.
I'm like, 16 is going to be hard, you know. But I'm like, I've heard from other dads that dads of daughters are like,
just wait till 11.
Ooh.
I'm like, what?
Why?
It's like, yeah, she doesn't even remember you. Oh. I'm like, okay, wow, all right, well, that sounds awesome. Can't wait for that. Soak up all these memories now. So,
yeah, really.
I do not have kids.
Yes.
Because I am a kid. So my
You're what, 22?
Yes.
All right.
My sister turned 12 a few years ago, and that was the hardest part for my family. You could just see the defeat on my parents' face. Oh, no. Because that was where it was, you can't tell me what to do. Don't talk to me like that.
Okay.
That kind of stuff. 12.
Like, it'll be interesting.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
But that's the thing, right? I think we're talking about new stuff tonight. Yep. And I think that's one of the things is that risk of like trying something new. What if I fail?
Right.
What if I'm not good at it? But what I love about you, Lisa, is that like you could have been like, well, I don't know that I should do this. I don't blah, blah, or just quit. But you're not.
Nope.
You're staying
going
faithful. You're going to tweet.
@selfcarelisa.
Go follow it tonight. Let's at least get her 18 followers. But Lisa, speaking of self-care, Lisa, right?
Yeah.
You're about to have a baby here in literally weeks.
Weeks. I'm 4 weeks away.
Four weeks.
Oh my gosh, you guys. I can't even say it. My heart's like, thunk.
So the thing about that is most people feel like when they have a baby, that as a woman, as a mother, mm-hmm. that it's going to be the it's like Disney World comes to your
right.
house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you anticipate all this for 9, 10 months, whatever, and you're getting everything ready, and everyone. Now I'm, like, unmistakably pregnant, and everyone's been talking to me,
yeah.
strangers. And all they say is, are you so excited? And I'm just like, uh-huh. Except really, I hate the baby stage.
Like, what do you mean the baby stage?
The newborn, especially the newborn,
yeah.
when they're not interactive, especially before they start smiling, I feel like all is dead in the world.
Yeah.
It is horrible because they don't do anything. You don't know what's wrong with them. You're crazy and sleep deprived and your hormones control everything and the baby controls everything. And now I've got a toddler at home who also feels like she controls everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I liked the baby stage with Josie because I didn't know there were other fun stages.
Yes.
She's fun now. She's almost three, and
yeah.
we're like rocking and rolling and loving life.
So, do you feel guilty? Like, is there like a mom pressure that you're supposed to think it's the greatest? Do you feel that way?
I don't feel that way because I don't subscribe to mom guilt.
Okay,
I just pushed it aside.
Yes,
I like that.
Kick
Good
it
for
to
you.
The curb.
Yeah, I just I'm like, ain't nobody got time for that.
So what?
But I don't. Maybe, I try not to say it.
What's mom guilt?
Mom guilt is all the pressure that moms feel to be the perfect Pinterest person and make all the and keep up with everything. You've got to be smoking hot, and your kids have to be perfect.
Yeah.
And they've got to be wearing the best, and you've got to be wearing the best. And, I mean, you could never melt down. You could never take a break, and you can never take care of yourself, which is why I am at Self Care Lisa, because
good plug.
You guys,
like it.
We need –
Hey, Lisa.
We need a break, right?
You started like 2 minutes ago at 8 followers. You're now at 11.
Hey,
you guys,
thank you.
Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Just loving
yes.
you.
Yes, so I just want to encourage
keep going,
moms
keep going.
Who maybe don't like the baby stage. And if you're pregnant, and especially if it's your first baby, I'm so sorry. But you could love it, and that's fine. And some people do.
Yeah.
But it's okay if you don't love the baby stage. And if there's anyone out there who agrees with me, give me a call. I mean, let's just shout it out and
yeah.
say, proclaim it on the radio tonight. It's cool. We don't have to love the baby stage. We can love ourselves through the baby stage.
Yes, 317.
And right into the best.
228-1099. Give us a call. Maybe you're struggling with mom guilt right now. You're in a new season, right? We're talking about new stuff tonight.
Yeah.
You've had a new baby, and maybe it is your first rodeo, right? First baby,
mm-hmm.
and you're thinking, I don't know that I love this, but I don't know that I can say that because what if I say it? I'm a bad mom.
Ugh.
I know our first one, Julie struggled with this because she had other friends in her life that just, they excelled and just loved it. In that first like
yeah.
6 to 8 weeks, we were both kind of like, yeah, not real sure. But when you break down what is happening when you have a newborn baby, Matt, I tell people this. I always tell new dads this. Here's the deal, bud.
Yeah.
You're going to have a baby show up at your house. Imagine if a human being, another human being, like an adult, came to your house, and for 6 weeks, they didn't speak to you, barely even made like kind of an affirming, anything like
Nothing.
You were in the room. Basically, they just screamed and yelled and pooped their pants for
yeah.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
And at the end of the 6 weeks, you're not going to be like, man, bro, why don't you stay another 6 weeks?
Yeah. It probably right. sounds to some people like their freshman college year roommate.
Right, exactly. People are like, oh, it's so exciting to go off to college. Yeah. Is it? I don't know. Yeah, it's man, it's tough.
It is tough.
It's a tough transition, but it's okay to not be okay. It's okay, especially if you're struggling with postpartum. Man, do not keep that to yourself.
Man, that's the real deal.
Isolation is
like, what is it? It's like one out of every seven.
One in
women,
seven.
Seven new moms suffer with it.
Yeah, and I Googled prepartum depression because I was like, maybe I've got a little prepartum going on here with all my crying.
Yes.
You know, maybe the anticipation of giving birth. That's a thing.
But you discovered that what you actually just have is an allergic reaction to all the jelly you've been eating in those donuts.
Oh, man.
Yes, you do.
And
so
jelly donut, baby.
Kicked you into some kind of thing.
So good.
I'm just kidding.
It's the kryptonite.
Right. I embrace you eating the chili
I like
jelly
when you
donuts.
Told the story one time. You're like, yeah, magically, I just rolled into Square Donuts in the parking lot. And suddenly
I don't know how it happened.
I was handing her a dollar.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
I ate the whole thing.
It just slipped.
Well, I like it. Lisa, you've inspired Vivian. Let's see what Vivian has to say about mom guilt. You're on Radio Theology. Vivian, what's up?
Hi. I just heard you guys talking about mom guilt, and I just went through something so, like, I had the worst mom guilt of all time.
Tell us.
So my son is 4. He just turned 4 in March, and we were looking at schools to take him to, and we found what we thought was this really great school, and I'm not going to name it because we had kind of a horrible experience. I'm sure other people have great experiences there, but ours wasn't. And so we wanted to take him there, and it's a Christian school. It's a private school, so they have all these, you know, you have to go through all these papers and go through these interviews and the whole nine. So we were doing all that, and we got to this part where they're doing an assessment, or what we thought was an assessment for the kids, and it was like they sit you down, and I thought it was going to be, you know, this is where your kid's at. This is where he needs to be before he can get into school.
So you're thinking it's like an ABC thing. Like, does he know this? Does he know the sounds?
Right,
okay,
right, yeah. All right,
keep going.
He needs to know, you know, before he gets into school. And
sure.
So we take him to this, and this teacher takes him back into the room by himself, and we're out in the waiting room. We're all, like, anxious, and then she brings him out, and I go back, and my husband stays out with the kids because they can't go back with us. And so she sits me down, and she's like, you know, I saw a really distracted and immature young boy, and he, you know, he didn't score high enough to qualify for a preschool program. And immediately I'm like, oh, my God, this is not at all what I thought it was going to be. And I was just so taken back, and I was so upset. I've been upset all week about it because I feel like she kept saying how he should know certain things by his interactions with you, and he should know, you know, things, like she kept saying, with his interaction with you. So basically saying, he doesn't know this because you're not doing the right thing.
Right.
At preschool.
So I don't know preschool. He's 4. And so I'm like, he's never even been in school. And I told her, I said, you know, my niece didn't know any of these things before she went into preschool. And she said, oh, he hasn't been in school yet. I was like, no, that's what we're trying to do now. And
right.
Like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, I guess that changes a little thing, but he should still know how to, you know, sit down and listen to a book. Like, you should be doing that with him at home. And I'm like, I am doing that, but, you know, he doesn't really know you. He's never been here before.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of an uncomfortable situation. Like, you kind of just took him back and didn't really talk to us. Like, it was just a very weird situation. And she kind of just sat there and berated me about how I'm not doing a good job as a mother. And all week, I'm like, man, am I not? Like, what should I have done different? Should he have, you know? It was just the worst mom guilt of all time, and I kept thinking about it, you know, more and more, and it was such bad mom guilt. But I keep talking to more people, and they're like, no, that's not right. He's 4, you know?
Oh, right, exactly.
Had an assessment at 4, but...
Yeah.
You said mom guilt, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, like, I have that.
Yeah,
yes.
Did I just get a healthy dose of it?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And it spirals if you let it go, and that's the dangerous part about it, is if you let it go, but it sounds like at least if you're sharing that with people, and they're able to speak some truth into your life, that's you're doing the right thing there, too.
Well, I talked to my pastor at church this morning, and he was like, he's like, you know, I didn't, because he helped me, you know, sent a reference letter for me and tried to help me with the school, and he was like, I had no idea that they did that. He was like, that is not God talking. He was like, that is not, you know, that is not the right thing. Like that. And I was like, yeah, we're probably not going to take my kid there. And he was like, yeah, that, like, good for you. Like, that's
right.
That you should be doing. It doesn't sound like the right fit for you. And I was like, yeah.
Well, Vivian, thanks for calling in. Here's my one word of encouragement for you about it is I noticed there's a word that you used probably 10 times when you were telling the story, and it was the word should. And one of the things that's changed my life, and this is a message I try to get out to so many people, is this, and is to never should on yourself and don't should on your friends. Because should is a trigger word for shame. And so, you know, as you're looking through that is, should I have done this or should I have done this? Or for somebody to say to you, you should this, you should that. What happens is there is an opportunity to make a different decision. So if somebody said to you, you know what, Vivian, you could have done this. Now you're empowered to make a decision based on this. But when you hear somebody come and say you should, what they're saying is that you don't measure up. And what happens is oftentimes we take on such levels of shame because we have people shooting all over us, or we do that to our friends, all right?
Careful, careful.
So, yeah, if you're the SEC listening, this. That is should. And not the alternative.
The word should. So, Vivian, listen, you could maybe do things different in your parenting, and maybe this is a chance as you're going through this thing to look at some things, but let's free you from the guilt that you should do things differently, and we hope that your son find an awesome preschool.
We started like sitting down with him more and reading with him more, and he's just starting to thrive just within 1 week. So
that's awesome.
I think it was good for us. But at the same time, we're probably not going to go to that school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving on down the street from that.
But yes.
Vivian, thank you, Vivian.
Yes, thanks for listening tonight, and God bless you and your son, and enjoy reading to him.
Thank you, and thank you for being on the radio. I love listening to you guys.
Oh, awesome. You're awesome. Thanks, Vivian. All right, well, you know what? I just pushed the button in front of our microphones. That was an accident.
Wow. There's a first.
He turned himself off.
Oh, goodness gracious. You know what? We'll be back here in just a minute. We got to pay some bills.
Radio Theology is on 99.5 ZPL. Now, an update on the ever-expanding Lisa.
And you thought she was big before.
Everyone's noticing, guys, that I am pregnant.
Yes.
35 and a half weeks pregnant.
There we go.
So on, wow. Charging towards 40. Baby's as big as a pineapple.
A pineapple?
That's yeah. A fruit I know.
Sometimes he feels like a pineapple inside when he's moving too.
Little pokey?
Little pokey.
I wonder if that includes
kind of painful.
Like the little leaves on top that are kind of like the spiky thing.
Yeah, 18 inches long. Oh, yeah.
The
apparently.
Leaves and everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
and
involved.
He's over 5 pounds.
Wow.
Right now.
Gosh.
So, yeah, but probably partly because I've been staying loyal to my jelly donuts.
Nice. Good. Yeah.
Yep.
Good.
Less on the milkshakes, but almost every day on jelly donuts.
Seriously, is it a daily thing?
I do. I say that in shame, but it's fine.
Have you given up on milkshakes?
A little bit. The jelly donut always sounds better, and if I have to choose, I'm more hungry in the morning, so that's mm-hmm. what I go for.
Is it like a morning drive kind of thing, where you're like, ooh, yeah. That'd be nice mm-hmm. on the way to work kind of
oh,
thing?
No. Oof. I'm turning mm-hmm. into the drive-thru.
Yeah, whoops. I don't know how it happens, but I keep doing it. Oh, same with the crying. Oh, my gosh. This week I saw a video on Facebook about when a dad surprised, like, his kid was so hardworking, they're farmers, and this kid worked all day on the farm. And never complained and all that stuff. And so his dad said, hey, I've got another all-day project for us. You know, are you sure you want to do it? Yes, he says. I don't know what it is. You don't even know what it is. Are you sure? Yep. And then he gives him Cubs tickets.
Oh, I saw that.
And the yes, kid's bawling, yes. And I'm like, yeah. This is a full-out weep. Just not, like, sniffles and everything. It was
are,
just...
you even, are you even a Cubs fan?
Oh, I am. Yes, I'm a Cubs fan.
Okay. Yeah, she okay.
Oh, yeah,
Cubs
yeah.
All right, all right.
Yeah, and a farmer. So there you go. I mean, I wasn't a farmer, but my dad's
got you on doubling all three down. Fronts.
Right, mm-hmm. Yes, it got me everywhere. So I just was weeping. I'm like, okay, it's cool. And in church this morning, I think we talked earlier about the guy who was colorblind.
Yeah.
He has the special glasses.
We posted
he can
that
see.
On our Facebook page.
Oh, my gosh. But my funny story this week is I was checking into this place where they have security. And so the security officer, woman, was like, hey, you know what? So your husband needs to come up behind you. And I'm like,
where is this
where going? Are you going? I'm like, huh? Of course I go straight sexually. But I'm like, eh? So I'm like, preparing myself. She's, he's going to lift your belly up.
What?
And it's going to feel so good. And I'm like, huh? Like, I'm like,
you're going
to
a security
check.
Line?
Yes, like. It's like at the airport, but like it's a secure location I was working at and whatever. And like what? He's going to come up behind. I'm like, oh, okay.
What is
so anyway, these are the
security?
Kind of awkward conversations I'm having.
So she could like
now that
one
I'm so
you
big.
Or something? Like what was
no,
the story?
No. She's saying at home on my own time.
Oh.
So it releases some pressure,
she's just giving
I guess,
you unsolicited
if you lift
advice.
The belly.
Oh,
she'll
okay.
say, oh, you wish you had been doing this the whole time. I'm like,
so you didn't come to her and be like, I've got a lot of stress in
no.
my stomach. She just said, girl,
no.
let me tell you something.
Right.
Your husband's going to come up right behind you.
Let me help you out.
And then he's going to lift your tummy uh-huh. up.
And I was like, thank you.
Like, trying to be polite. Advice.
No, I haven't. What? No, I haven't. I haven't even tried it yet.
Well, Ryan, if you're listening at home, when she gets home, you get behind her. Yep. You just grab onto that tummy.
Lift it on up.
Pull it on up. She's going to be like, why didn't I do this 9 months ago?
Right.
Oh my gosh.
So tell us about the blog.
Oh, man. So I finally wrote my blog this week. This is not fitting music for my blog, but absolutely might be fitting music for my evening.
All right.
But that was the way I took care of myself this week was finally being honest with how I had been feeling about not being excited about the baby stage and being nervous about, you know, feeling the physical pain of labor and all that stuff. And so I wrote that out and it feels so good to write. I'm like, oh my gosh, I like writing. I should do this all the time.
And you're good at it. Isn't it fun to just hit publish?
Yes.
Oh, it's so fun.
It was so exciting.
I love that.
Yeah. So I felt great about it. And if you want to read it.
Yeah, where can we read
it? It's lisagraft.com.
And that's G-R-A-F-T.
Yeah, .com. Or if you follow me on Twitter at selfcarelisa, I posted it and I'll probably retweet it some point.
Earlier we called
right?
out.
That's a thing, right?
Yes, it is.
Poor Lisa had 8 followers on Twitter. She's new to the game at selfcarelisa. And we called it out on the microphones into space and back down to earth. And 4 more people followed you, Lisa.
Wow. I feel so popular right now.
It's exciting.
You got to crawl before you walk, one step at a time.
That's right.
So go check out Lisa's blog. It's lisagraph.com or at selfcarelisa. You can get all the stuff that's going on in her life. Stay connected.
This is Radio Theology with Pub Pastor Darren on 99.5 ZPL.
And while you're calling, we're going to also add the segment we've been doing for a while called Ask a Pastor. Ryan, set us up with our question for the night.
Okay, so if you missed the story earlier, this is from my new friend who's a rabbi who recently accepted Christ last week, which was awesome and crazy and totally unexpected. And he in our conversation, he said, how can a man who lived thousands of years ago, referencing Jesus, how can a man who lived thousands of years ago still be alive?
Ooh, good question.
Isn't that a good, honest question?
Yeah.
Yeah, how can a man who lived 2,000 years ago still be alive?
Yeah.
Great question for the Ask a Pastor segment. And let me think about this for a second. I want you guys to know, so you may think this is like fake radio where we don't know these questions or we study all week for them. But Ryan literally, you know, asked this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just spun a wheel.
Yes.
No, we're just kidding.
Off the top of my head, what I would say is how does someone live is the scriptures teach us that Jesus is what they say. He's the firstborn, right, of the resurrection. And the belief is that that when Christ came back from the dead, he was given what's called a glorified body, right? And his body was the first to kind of be remade as our bodies were intended to actually live. Okay. One thing that I think we forget, at least I believe this, not everybody does, but that we were actually created in the beginning to live forever. Like death was not part of God's original structure.
Okay.
And so our bodies were actually created to live forever. And that is one of the things that will happen again at the end of time is our souls will live forever and there will be an eternal life. And I think the interesting thing about that is that we all actually feel that in our hearts and our souls is that there is an afterlife and what that would look like.
Yeah.
But so the concept behind that is that he actually has a glorified body that is actual real. It says there in, you know, as you read in the New Testament, we celebrated last week Easter, is that Jesus does have like flesh and bone and he ate, like he actually consumed food and showed his disciples like, hey, listen, I'm not a ghost.
Right.
I actually have a body. So.
Yeah, there was a really cool verse that came to mind that listen, I've been a Christian a long time, but I did not realize that this verse, I must have glossed over this one, it's from this book called the Book of Romans, and it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. So it's like the fact that God raised Christ from the dead is also living in you. That's an amazing thing. Where, you know, kind of back to the caller, Vivian, who she's talking like dealing with mom guilt and all that stuff. It's like, I don't think guilt is in that plan right there. Like shame is not supposed to be in that design. It's like, no, you've got the same Spirit of God living in you that raised Jesus from the dead.
Now, the Radio Theology Thought of the Night.
Momentum. They call it the big mo. And when you have it, it seems like nothing can stop you. Momentum in your life is priceless. When you have it in your career or in your relationship, the sky is blue or the stars shine brighter. You're hitting on all cylinders. Watch out, world. You've got momentum. Here you come. Now, when you don't have momentum in your life, everything feels like a chore. Your job seems like a dead end. Your marriage may seem like it's stuck in maintenance mode. And even, you know, it might even feel like your life is like that movie Groundhog Day, right? Where every day you wake up, it feels like the same day you just lived. Every day has no momentum to get you where you really want to go. So how do you fix that? How do you produce momentum in your life? Well, many years ago, I learned from Andy Stanley that there are three simple words that will actually create momentum in your life. There's these three words: new, improved, and improving. You want momentum? You need something new, something improved, and something that's improving. First and foremost, you need something new. Now, see, advertising agencies figured this out a long time ago. Like, have you ever noticed when you walk down the aisle at a grocery store that every product says it's new and improved? I mean, look, Windex has been around forever. I mean, do you really think it's new and improved? It still just looks like fluorescent blue stuff. It might be better, but just reading the words new and improved, it makes you want to buy it, doesn't it? I mean, can you imagine going down the aisle and buying a product whose label said old and slightly outdated? You'd never purchase that product. So here's your question tonight. What is the sticker on your life read? Are you new, improved, and improving? Or does your life sticker read old, tired, and depreciating? If you want to find some momentum in your life this spring, you need to be made new. That's why I love my relationship with Jesus. It's all about momentum. Since I've been a kid, I've trusted the scripture that says that anyone who belongs to Jesus becomes a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. You can be made new. And guess what? You can be improved. Every day that I wake up, I feel like Jesus teaches me how to improve the way that I live, the way that I love, the way I give and forgive and lead. Every day I'm given to live, I'm made new. I'm improved and I'm improving. My life has momentum. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect. I still screw up a lot. I'm still really selfish. But guess what? I'm better than I was a year ago because I've got momentum. What about you? This spring, it's time to change the sticker on your life. Before you go shopping for a new car, a new job, a new house, or maybe a new wife, it might be time to consider becoming a new you. It just might be the momentum you've always been searching for. And that, my friends, is your Radio Theology Thought of the Night.